Well, hi, good evening. I'm Robert Shuler. I want to welcome you to The Call, which is part of our Robert Shuler Ministries, a church with no walls. It's the 15th of the month. So if it's the 15th, what time is it? It is time for The Call. If it's the 15th of the month at 6 p.m. Pacific time, no matter where you are in the world, you know we're going to be here, and we've been here every single month for the last 5 years. Am I right, Donna? Is that about right? 5 years?
That's right. It'll be 5 years, November 15th.
November 15th. So anyway, we had a little technical difficulties today because we've incorporated Facebook Live into this, and we've always had two phones, and we need two phones, and unfortunately, we didn't calculate that as I'm in Philadelphia right now. I'm participating in a First Amendment Voice Symposium where I spoke this evening, and I'll say a little bit more about that. So I'm calling in from Philadelphia, and Donna is back in our apartment in Newport Beach, California. And so we're doing this remotely, which we've done before. It's amazing the different opportunities and and challenges that God has put in our way. But we are doing it again here because we insist on giving mid-month encouragement to everybody who wants to call in. And we just want to remind you that if you continue to surrender your life to God and trust the outcome of any situation, you'll experience God's good and perfect will for your life. Well, tonight's a little different. Maybe you figured out that Donna is definitely there, and tonight I'm over here. But anyway, it's just a pleasure to have you and be able to have this time to talk to you.
Yes, it is, and it is very interesting not having, we're partners here on this thing, so I don't actually think it had anything to do with the phone not being here, Robert. If something's wrong with Facebook Live tonight, because I got locked out, I had nothing but a black screen when I tried to go live, and they, in like a still shot of me looking all stressed out, it's probably posted there somewhere. And Robert, same thing, right? You try to call into Facebook Live, and it's not working, so, you know.
Exactly.
Even Facebook probably has tough technical difficulties. So,
Donna, it might have been because we were still on the phone call too.
Oh, that's right. Because we tried to do we're on a conference call line, and we didn't think that our iPhone was that tricky, and it's not. So that's probably what it is. So I apologize for those of you that tried to get on. One of us needs to type in a message if we can get on there, Robert, and the phone number here. So I'll introduce myself. We do this because we put this on podcast. So every month we say, hi, I'm Donna Shuler, and thank you for joining Robert and I on this call. It's a telephone gathering held on the 15th of every month, always at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And, you know, we've been hosting this for almost 5 years. Robert asked that question just a minute ago on November 15th. So in 2 months, we're going to have to think about some kind of a really great anniversary, 5-year anniversary, because we've had challenges. And, you know, every good thing in life comes with its challenges. But we've met them all, and we decided to give up on Facebook Live because those of you that call in have precedence because we've been doing it longer. We've only been doing Facebook Live for about, less than 6 months, maybe four to six months. So we are going to be taking questions later in the call. So remember, when it's time to do that, just push star and 6 on your keyboard, on your telephone, whatever telephone you're using, and you can ask questions, or we'll take your prayer requests as well. So speaking of prayer, I would like to offer a word of prayer now. It seems like we need it. Dear Heavenly Father.
Yeah, we do.
Everybody needs it. Our situation is nothing compared to what's happened here in the last month since we've met. But dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and we just praise you and thank you for every good thing that happens in our life, because there's so much to be thankful for. And even with the horrendous things that have happened in, you know, first of all, with the flooding in Houston, that surrounding area, that huge, massive area that just is still trying to dry out and repair things and feed their families and go back to work and all those things. You know, we had a big, huge hurricane that really affected. A lot of islands out in the Atlantic Ocean, some of them U.S. territory, some of them not. And also, Lord, most of us know that it just really took its toll on Florida. The whole, basically, most of Florida was hit either with the hurricane and the winds or flooding. And, Lord, we just pray right now for those people that are still without electricity, that may be without fuel for their vehicles. Lord, we just ask for your guidance. Make sure those people are safe. Give them hope. Give them encouragement. May this thing be over soon. May they get back to what some sense of normalcy, Lord. And also for the fires. There's been horrific fires north of us, and we don't want to forget those people either. There's been a ton of fires. At one point, there were 60 of them. And Lord, just keep anybody out of harm's way. Bless the people, the rescue workers, in all these situations that have given up their lives, that sometimes some of them are getting paid, some of them are volunteer, but we love that. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you so much that you are in the center of all things, even when we don't understand it. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, I am in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and I'm participating in the First Amendment Voice Symposium. And it just so happens that tomorrow is Constitution Day, because it was in 1787 or 86, I'm not sure, 1780 something, where the Constitution was signed on September 17th. And so this is where we're doing it, because the First Amendment is part of the Constitution. All of the amendments are considered part of the Constitution. So the Constitution is a work that continues constantly for the past 200 years. Every time we make an amendment to the Constitution, we've changed the Constitution. That's what amendment means. And so that's why we have it out here. But what I want to do is, before I go and say more about that, I want to have a little Bible reading, because this is a monthly church service, and it's mm-hmm. just, it's a different church service in that we don't have music, which is, I guess, the Quaker style. The Quakers don't have music in their worship services. We're not face-to-face, and in fact, we don't even get to see each other like we do on Facebook Live, but we do get to feel the Spirit, because we hear each other's voices. We have a chance to interact, because we have a chance to ask questions. And so that's why we pray. We read Scripture. I have messages. Donna has messages. We have announcements. We collect an offering. And so it's all good. And so I'm going to read something I suspect you're familiar with, and that is the opening of John's gospel. John was known as the beloved of the Lord, and he is the fourth gospel to have been written. His gospel is considered the theology gospel, because there's a lot of theology. There's a lot of things in that gospel which is quite different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are very, very similar, and that's why they're called synoptic. So I'm going to just read the first part, and that does this whole first part is, again, why you'll know that this is called the theological gospel, because there's the heady and interesting stuff. So here's what it says. In the beginning, and you want to say God, you immediately think of Genesis, and you think, it's going to say God created the heavens and the earth. But no, it's just in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He, the Word, was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know that this is the person of Jesus, that what God is, what St. John is referring to as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words, was to let the world know that Jesus has always been, that he and the Father are one, that as he was from the very beginning and always has been. He was with God before nothing existed. He was with God as God spoke the words, "Let there be light." He was with God as God spoke the word, let the firmament above be separated from the firmament below. He's with God and speaking the words with God, and may have even been the one who uttered the words of God in helping the creation, because nothing was made without him. And everything that has been made with him. So this is one of the most theological, beautiful statements about understanding the reality of Jesus being here from beginning to today and always. One of the challenges that I have in attending different churches is the fact that many congregations talk about the Word, the Word, the Word, and most of the time it sounds like they're talking about the Bible. And yet the Bible doesn't have the power. They talk as if the Bible has the power, when the Bible is not the power. The Bible points to the power. The power is in the Word of God, Jesus, and not in the small W Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is our instructional book to get us connected to Jesus, to get us connected to God, to get us connected into the Holy Spirit, to give us that power that we receive from Jesus, from God, from his Holy Spirit. And so one of the challenges I have when I go to churches is hearing them talk about the Word, the Word, the Word, and not making distinction as to whether they're talking about Jesus or whether they're talking about the Bible. And so I try to make it very clear. In fact, I usually don't refer to the Bible as the Word at all. I refer to the Bible as the Bible, and I refer to the Word as Jesus. I just think it's a lot clearer and a lot more, it's just a better way to communicate than to confuse the two by referring to the Bible as the Word and to Jesus as the Word. Because then as a listener, you have to determine whether that person is talking about the Holy Scriptures or is that person talking about the divine Word of God, Jesus. And so I've made it a very important part of my ministry to make that a very distinct thing, because the power is in the Word. not the Bible, but Jesus Christ. In fact, in seminary, I heard the term bibliolatry, like as in idolatry, and you start worshiping the Bible instead of worshiping God. And it's an important distinction to make, because the last thing we want to do is to start worshiping anything other than God, including the Bible. We don't want to worship the Bible. We want to worship God. And anything that will bring us closer into the reality of who God is and into that relationship with him is something not to be worshipped, but something to be used. And that to use that as a tool to be able to accomplish our goal, which is to have a deeper, more beautiful relationship with God. And I would assume that there's some illustrations I could come up with, say like in a husband and wife relationship that would be of similar, that would probably work, but I haven't thought of it right offhand. So Donna, if you think of one, you can interrupt me and let me know.
Well, guess what?
What's that?
You know what's funny, Robert? I am now live by using my laptop. Remember it? We were trying to get it on the laptop because Facebook finally has the icon at the bottom to press to be live on the laptop, and so it worked. Yay! So here
I am.
So
we're on
live,
Facebook
Robert.
Live now. Also,
I'm on Facebook Live. Robert's not because he's in Philadelphia. So but I'm here. It made it. It just finally connected. Even what happened is the settings on my computer said I wasn't able to do it because it wasn't set up. So I was like, oh, well, it's not set up. But it's set up. So I'm a little close because I have to be.
Well, congratulations, Donna.
Speaker. Whoa.
And,
let's see, let me get that
and maybe
better.
It's because our internet
better.
Started working. We've been having the worst problem with our internet in our apartment. We've got people around us who have, they must have, super strong modems and super strong routers, because it'll just knock us off completely and we can't get any internet service. It's really frustrating.
Exactly.
And we I've bought new routers and it still hasn't solved the problem. But anyway.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
So the power of God in his word is power in Jesus. The power of God in his word, the Bible, is only there that leads us to Jesus and to his Holy Spirit and to his relationship. And I just wanted to make that very strong distinction, because there are people who are in the devastated areas throughout the Caribbean, throughout Florida, throughout Houston, and that whole Gulf Coast region, which have lost everything, including their Bibles. And they may be feeling absolutely horrible about the fact that here's this Word of God that has been destroyed. And it is a tragedy that they've lost that. So I'm not trying to say that. All I'm trying to say is that the truth is that that is an object that can be replaced, like everything else, and that it is, and that object has been a very faithful servant for you throughout your entire life, as long as you've had that beautiful thing, taking you to where the real power is, and that is the power of Jesus. So Donna and I have been praying for everyone throughout Florida, throughout the Gulf region. We have a real we have tremendous empathy for hurricane victims, because we have been very close to the epicenter of horrific hurricane situations. So even though we personally haven't been through one, we have seen the immediate aftermaths, and we have seen the trauma that resides from that. We see the post-traumatic stress that people feel from going through a horrible storm like that months later. So if you evacuated your house and you're thinking, golly, why did I do that? My house is spared. I really didn't need to leave. The fact that you don't, you and even if you survive the thing completely unscathed, people who go through that continue to feel the post-traumatic stress and the fear every time something like this is about to happen. They carry that with them the rest of their life. So by heeding the advice of the FEMA director and the governor and everybody else was truly the right thing to do. And I'm so proud of everybody in the Houston area and the Florida area who have been just stellar in their Christian behavior in helping one another. And all of the stories and the reports that I have heard have been nothing but beautiful examples of people going out of their way to do more for others. And so I just want to congratulate those of you in those areas who have been there, that you truly are living the embodiment of Jesus, in that you are fulfilling his command, which is really all he wants us to do. There's only one command that we have. You have the Ten Commandments, yeah, but those commandments are all summed up in one command. And this is the true command, to love one another, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And therein is all of the Ten Commandments, all of the law of the Old Testament. It's all right there, the words of Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we continue to move and strive towards being that, it's just a beautiful thing to see that individuals are indeed throughout these torn areas helping one another and being the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, the good Samaritans, the passionate individuals that God has called us to be. So I want to thank everyone who's listening to me, who's participated in making a difference, and in just being a beautiful citizen of the family of God. Because you recall that passage ends that I read today is that we are called children of God as we receive him. And so he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, and today we would add a woman's will, as a wife's will, but born of God. And so as brothers and sisters, we need to care for one another in time of need, and that's exactly what we are witnessing. And it's just a joy to be able to see that reality. So that's my little message for tonight. And so Donna, do you want to?
Well, yeah. I wanted to add that, you know, that's always been your message when anybody throughout the years that since I've been married to you many years now, almost 33. It's always been your answer. I know you even, you know, you mentioned this sometime recently, but when Larry King was interviewing you once, I think it was the last time he interviewed you, it was, where is God in this? Why does this happen? And, you know, that's been an age-old question, where is God? And you just answered that.
Exactly.
God shows up in people. He shows up in the people that get home from work. Like one of the stories I heard, some guy gets home from work. He happened to be an airline pilot. He's in another area in Texas. He goes, gets an aluminum boat, drives hours and hours down to Houston to start rescuing people and just basically risk his whole life. Well, that's when God shows up. And
that's,
Yeah, that's where God shows up. And, you know, I wanted to say we also, in my prayer, my opening prayer, I forgot to include the people in Mexico City. Robert and I have a true love and affection for Mexico and its people, and we spend a lot of time down there. We spend about 40%. We figured it out. We're about 40% of our time in Mexico. We're about 40% of our time here in Orange County. This is where our family is. This will probably always be our home base. We have children, adult children, and grandchildren here, and it's our home. And then we spend another 20% traveling, you know, for other ministry work, and once in a while for some fun too. But we travel a lot for ministry. And for those of you that join late, Robert is not here. You can see he usually sits right over here. He's in Philadelphia, in our nation's very first capital, actually. It wasn't Washington, D.C. Most of you know that, but some of you might not. And he's there meeting. What is the meeting again, Robert? What's the name of it? I know what you're there
it's
for.
It's the First Amendment Voice.
It's a symposium
to help protect the First Amendment. And
so
why is that important?
Would you remind people why that's important, Robert? Why is it important, the First Amendment voice, especially for, you know, you're a pastor. You're a leader of, you know, a Christian leader. Why is that important? Maybe people don't realize.
Well,
why.
People don't realize that, maybe you do after hearing about what took place in Berkeley yesterday or the day before, in that Berkeley spent $600,000 on security so Ben Shapiro could talk. And before they wouldn't allow, I can't remember her name, another conservative, they wouldn't allow her to come because they were so afraid. And then,
Steve, if you're still on, help me out there.
so here's one of the things that I find offensive to the and I think should be protected by the First Amendment, and that is in 2004 the ACLU forced the city of Los Angeles to remove the cross from its insignia. You got to remember that the city of Los Angeles, first of all, is the city of angels, right? So for a city of angels to have a cross in their insignia, it doesn't sound outrageous to me. Then, in addition to that, you have to remember the historical significance of California. I think the children in California are still doing this. When our children were in, I think it was fifth or sixth grade, they made models of a mission. They got to choose a mission because
I think they still do that. They still do that.
Well, so the historical significance of California was that Father Junipero Serra traveled up and down the state establishing missions. And what they would do is every 22 to 27 miles, they would establish another mission. And so you have all these missions up and down the coast. The one we lived near for so many years was in San Juan Capistrano. And San Juan Capistrano was established in 1776, which may ring a bell to you. That's the same year the United States wrote its Declaration of Independence, and that was the foundation of our country. So the same year, Father Junipero Serra is building a mission in San Juan Capistrano at the exact same time our forefathers are establishing the Declaration of Independence. So all of these missions had a cross on top of them, without exception. Now, all of a sudden, they need to remove the cross from the mission that is in the insignia of the logo for the city of Los Angeles. Well, in 2014, the city of Los Angeles decided to put the cross back in. In 2016, the ACLU pursued it with a lawsuit, and the U.S. District Judge Christina A. Snyder ruled against the city of Los Angeles and made them remove the cross once again from their insignia.
Wow.
That is the First Amendment was not there to create separation of religion from religion, but to create separation of, let me see,
protection, right? Protection.
It's there to protect us, and not to separate us, but to give us the freedom to do it. And so what has taken place in society is to try and separate religion from everything political or public, and you cannot. It's impossible to separate religion from anyone, even if you're an atheist. Atheism is your religion. It is your bias. So, for instance, there was an article in the New York Times on September 11th of this year. So we're talking, what's the date today, the 15th, 4 days ago? Mm-hmm. Would you consider that current news?
Yeah.
I would. I would consider that current.
Harry.
So the title of this article in the New York Times, which is not a conservative, considered a reputable publication, the New York Times. They reported that the headline being "The Dogma of Dianne Feinstein," and what it is that President Trump's nominee to serve on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, Amy Coney Barrett, is being interrogated by Dianne Feinstein, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California. And what Senator Feinstein does is she asks her this question, or she actually makes this statement, because Amy Barrett is a devout Orthodox Catholic. And so she says, dogma and law are two different things. This is Dianne Feinstein talking to her, making accusations about her Catholic faith. Dogma and law are two different things. She's referring to her faith as a dogma. And I think whatever a religion is, it has its own dogma. The law is totally different. And I think in your case, Professor, talking to Amy, in your case, Professor, when you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you, and that is of concern. So she doesn't believe that she has the power as a Catholic to be impartial and judge the way a judge should judge, because she's Catholic. What Dianne Feinstein is trying to say is we have to separate church, religion, dogma from all public life, which is an impossibility. Our nation was established upon the reality of who God is. There was no desire whatsoever to separate the church from public life. If that were the case, we wouldn't have stamped on our currency "In God We Trust." You wouldn't have, everywhere you go throughout D.C., if you know what to look for, you can see the foundation of Christianity everywhere. It is there. Our country was truly, purely, unadulteratedly established on a theocentric belief and dogma that God exists, that he's real, and that he's with him we can succeed, and without him we're going to fail. Every single constitution, original constitution in all states in the United States of America, referred to the power of God giving them the ability to write these constitutions. Our constitution, it has God written in it. You cannot, you can try and take God out of this country, and which a lot of people are trying to do, but in the process, you will fail. It will not happen. So today I had lunch with even more current. Today I had lunch with a young man. I was encouraging him to go into the chaplaincy because he's a devout Christian, and I thought he might make an excellent chaplain in the Air Force because he's currently in the Air Force. And he said, "I can't do it." And I said, "What do you mean you can't do it?" He goes, "I have the ability to do it. I won't do it because I'm not allowed to use the name of Jesus as a Christian chaplain in the armed forces."
Wow, that's kind of odd, to say the least. Wow, interesting.
That's why we need these symposiums. That's why I'm involved with protection of the First Amendment, because we need to be able to protect our right to be able to use the name of Jesus when we pray, whether we're no matter where we are in public life. And that's what's happening, is Christianity is being thwarted to the point where we're not allowed to use any form of Christ or Jesus. Mm-hmm. For instance, in our public school in San Juan Capistrano, when my kids went there, they had already gotten Christmas out of everything, which doesn't even mean baby Jesus per se. But nevertheless, it's no longer called Christmas break. It is winter break. It's no longer called a Christmas tree. It's a winter tree. It's no longer called the Christmas program. It's called the winter program. And no words of Christmas are allowed in the public school in that school district. And it's a sad reality. And we need to start pushing back because we've been pushed in a corner too far and too long. That's why I'm participating in this. That's a long answer for a question.
Well, I think one of the things I wanted to say again is because I see, people come in and out of this Facebook Live. We're used to watching it on this little camera way up there on a tripod. But because I have the laptop in front of me here, I can see, and people come and go. And I'm getting some messages like it won't turn off and stuff like that. I'm here alone. This is Robert Shuler Ministries. I'm Donna Shuler. This is The Call. We do this on the 15th of every month for almost 5 years. We meet between 6 and 7 p.m. via a conference call number, and it's a telephone church service, for lack of a better word. And so there's people that have been on tonight probably looking at this blonde woman in Robert Shuler Ministries' Facebook page just kind of shaking her hand. I'm sitting here kind of like looking at myself in this reflection. It's very awkward without you. So I just wanted to take a minute and say Robert is on the East Coast in Philadelphia, so I'd ask him to please say that again. So for those of you that are going to be listening on podcasts, that's totally a relative, or if you're on the conference line right now, it's totally a relative. But people on Facebook are probably going, what is she doing? Who's she talking to? Where is the guy? Because my phone's right here. So that's all. I just wanted to, because it's Facebook Live and it's out there in cyberspace, people can come and go. So I think it's important just to let people know that we're having this discussion on the First Amendment voice. My husband is on the East Coast because it's important that we protect our First Amendment rights so that we can say what we want to say when we want to say it. And specifically, as followers of Jesus, we can use the name of Jesus without offending anybody. I mean, I don't know why he would be offended. He was a really nice man, besides the fact that he was a great guy.
More than a man.
You know?
The son of the living God.
Yeah, exactly.
Christ, the Son of the Living God. Yeah, the Messiah.
I know that. Yep. Yeah. He is Christ, the Son of the Living God, but lived a life, a perfect life, like nobody ever has.
Well, this time has sure gone by fast, Donna.
Yes. And I'm going to pick up our oldest. What?
You need to make some announcements here. Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have announcements on a Word doc here, but I'm not going to pull it up because I'm on Facebook Live. So I'm just going to wing it, and I'm just going to tell you that we have a few things coming up. We still continue to go down to our gathering, which is down in Puerto Los Cabos in Mexico, and we were there last Sunday. We'll be back again in the next. In a few more Sundays, we have some other travel to do the end of the month. But I want to remind you that, you know, we're down there part-time, and we love being down there. We love pastoring those people, a small group of people, and we do whatever we can whenever we can. And we have this will be posted on our podcast after we're done here with the conference call. And you can find that at robertschulerministries.podomatic.com. You can also find our podcast. It's in iTunes, Robert Schuler Ministries. And we have all kinds of things we do locally, regionally, globally. Robert and I both work with the Global Peace Foundation, so we are really advocates of peace, starting within yourself. I believe you can't have peace in the world unless you first have peace with yourself. So we do a lot of work with young, old people from all around the world. We'll be doing some more traveling again early spring. We still have our website up, schulerhelp.org. That's to try to help people with this horrible opioid epidemic and any other kind of addiction that people are facing. They can go online, and we have references there. We have a man that answers the phone, and he can help you if you need help with addiction. So please remember that, schulerhelp.org. Like Robert said, this is a church service, so at this time we do take an offering. If you'd like to go on the side of the Facebook page, there's a little donate button there. You can go to robertschulerministries.org. That's our website, and you can donate there, or you can do it snail mail. And our snail mail is Robert Schuler Ministries, 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California. And I have a little sign here that my husband made.
Oh, you found those. Good. I set those out for you.
Everything's opposite. I'm flipped. So, like, this ring is really on my left hand, but it looks like it's on my right. It's funny. Okay, so there. So I'm moving it like that. There we go. So Robert Schuler Ministries, 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California. We want you to know that your donations help us do what we do. And if not for your donations, we would not be able to do what we do. So we really appreciate it. There's a lot of people that give to us, to our ministry, and it helps tremendously. So, and remember, we are a church, so anything you give is tax deductible. Also want to say that we are continuing to develop courses for our newest project, which is robertschulerinspiration.com. We've finished up our launch. We had a major launch for a little over a month. We launched on August 13th, and it's September 15th. So that doesn't mean that it's too late to sign up. It just means we've changed things up a little bit. And very, very soon, this is important, very soon, if you weren't into the 10 steps to emotional healing, I don't know why you wouldn't be. I think most of us need to mature a little bit emotionally every single day. At least I do. That's what maturity is. Yeah, so you have to work on it, though. It just doesn't come automatically, right?
Exactly. So maturity is being able to, and emotional health is pretty much the same thing.
Exactly, exactly. Somebody saying it's hard to hear you. Well, no kidding, because he's speaking through this. But sorry, Robert.
Sorry about that.
If you're not speaking directly in here, I'll put it closer to the computer, too, because it's picking up from there. So it's like from his phone to my phone to the computer. So, anyway, and there's a free conference call in there somewhere. So I just want to thank you very much. I know. And where was I, Robert? You interrupted. I did that to you.
Yeah, you were talking about the 10 steps. Now we're doing more courses.
Yeah,
and if you don't like
emotional healing.
I interrupted when you said, and if the emotional healing isn't for you, that's when I said, wait a minute.
Yeah, I said, well, we've heard that emotional healing isn't for people. People, oh, no, I don't need that. Well, usually if somebody says they don't need it, it means they need it even more. So
yeah, they need it more than everybody else.
Exactly. They say they don't need it. So the next courses will be mentioned very soon. I know I'll be teaching a course. We're going to be doing lots and lots. This is something we're going to be doing for the next month and years, and we're going to have on our channel, RobertSchulerInspiration.com, we're going to have several courses. They'll be on health. They'll be on family, raising children, all kinds of things. Robert's actually looking into, he's not looking into it, he's planning on putting the best of Robert Schuller sermons, 2006, and then 2007 and 2008. A lot of
those would be the Hour of Power sermons and the sermons in the Christa Cathedral.
So we'll be putting those up, and there's just a lot going on because we're all about helping people, develop a stronger faith and to develop courage and hope and perseverance and basically through the love of Jesus. So we have a lot of stuff coming up. So we want to thank you. We're looking forward to next month. And when are we meeting next month, Robert?
October 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Does that sound right? Do you think that might be it?
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. We're not taking questions tonight because it's too complicated because I don't want to, switch the screen around and get off Facebook Live. But anyway, we thank you for your patience. This has been a rather interesting one, but I hope you've got something out of listening to Robert talk about, just the Word of God being Jesus Christ, and also from there talking about Jesus being present in the hands and the feet when people help one another, because that's what he's called us to do. So in tragedy, that's what happens to good people. They become better people. So
yeah, let me conclude by giving this thought, because you talked about Larry King and what I said there, and what I said was that the most tragic things that we face in life is not death, as many people seem to imagine, because everybody is going to die, and over the next 100 mm-hmm. years, every single person on planet Earth is going to be dead. And that's just that's a reality, and we kind of lose sight of that. But the real question isn't about death. The real question is not how do we die, but how do we live? Mm-hmm. And the way we're supposed to live is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, which we have seen in just so many beautiful ways. And so thank you for being the hands, the voice, and the feet of Jesus, and for loving your neighbors as yourself. And with that, I just want to say thank you to everybody. If you wish to contact Donna, you can reach her at donna@robertschulerministries.org. Or if you wish to reach me, you can write to me at robert@schulerministries.org. And I just want to say that it's been a pleasure to be with you on the call tonight. And so, Donna, do you remember what we say now? How we sign off? Until next time, blessing you.
God is blessing you always.
Through all things. Amen.
Through all things. Amen. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.